It's truly been an honor for me and for Glenda to be with you. We've enjoyed truly time with our kids, but it is a joy to be with you, God's people. And I thank the Lord for you. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want to try to deal with a passage of Scripture as we just sang, make the message clear and plain. Be plain. Make it. Preach it. Swear. God's people hear it, and by the grace of God, understand what you're saying. I'd like to deal with this passage of Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 19 to 22. And this is a passage of Scripture that the Spirit of God moved upon the Apostle Peter to pen concerning the event which we read a few minutes ago, when Almighty God sent a flood upon this earth. Peter declared concerning the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 18 of 1 Peter 3. He says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Now, Almighty God, according to the Scriptures, and I won't read it, you know the truth of it, and I'll just state it for sake of time. The Lord saw, back in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verse 5, he saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord, not that God changes, because God doesn't change. But the Lord providentially was going to change the way that he was dealing with men. And God was going to send judgment upon this earth. He was going to destroy man. But according to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, the Scripture says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Almighty God was pleased to show mercy and grace to a man who was just like every other man. God Almighty was going to set forth his mercy. He told Moses, when Moses asked the Lord, said, "Show me your glory. Show me your magnificence. Show me," and this is what the Lord said, "I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy." And so the Lord told Noah back in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14. He said, "Make thee an ark." Make an ark. The Lord was going to give man 120 years. And Noah set forth to do exactly what the Lord told him to do. Now, in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 19 to 22, the Spirit of God setting forth, as I read in verse 18, that the Lord suffering once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And then verse 19 says, "By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison." Now, the Spirit of God who quickened Christ from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ being made flesh. He who was without sin had a human spirit, a human body, a human spirit. And the Lord Jesus Christ died one time, laid down his life one time. And by one sacrifice for sin, the scripture says, has perfected forever them that believed. And his human spirit that was ascended up unto the Father, into thy hands, commend my spirit. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, quickened his natural body, and he was raised from the dead. One sacrifice for sin. Now, that truth is what we're going to look at in this passage of Scripture. And it's going to be in the form of a picture, a type, a shadow, a setting forth of the glory of salvation being found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the same Spirit, Holy Spirit, that quickened the Lord Jesus Christ, the man, Christ Jesus, that same Spirit, was the Spirit back in the days of Noah that went, the scripture says, and preached unto the spirits in prison. So here we see the work of Christ himself by his Spirit, the same Spirit that raised him from the dead when Noah was building the ark. The scriptures declare that the Holy Spirit went and preached to that generation that was then in existence, in the days that the ark was being built, and God having instructed Noah, you build an ark. That's in, our pastor just read it in Genesis chapter 7, and the scripture says, and Noah did that which was commanded him of the Lord in Hebrews 11:7. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, he moved with reverence, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So the basis of Noah's faith was God's word. God spoke to him, warned him, and Noah moved. He moved with reverence and respect. He believed that Almighty God was going to do just exactly what he said he was going to do. And Noah, according to 2 Peter 2:5, was a preacher. He was a preacher of righteousness. And he preached the word of God while he was building this ark. He preached in word and deed. And being a preacher of righteousness here in this passage of Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3 said that it was the Spirit of God that was preaching to those souls, those spirits in prison, that there was those that were listening to Noah preach, and he was preaching to those that were in prison in the bondage of sin, trespasses and sins, and those that then died and now are in the prison of hell. Now, that is proven in verse 20. It said, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Now, here the Spirit reveals the rebellion of men that was held generally among all except for those that the Lord was pleased to show mercy, while Noah preached to them. He preached during those 120 years. God was going to send a flood, and 120 years was said to be the long suffering of God who waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. Now here's the foundation of what we're looking at. Here's we know what happened historically, and now here's the Spirit of God revealing to us what was being said while Noah was preparing that ark. So while Noah prepared that ark, I read many men, and they were saying how many, you know, how long they think that Noah actually took to prepare the ark. And so I personally believe it took 120 years for him to prepare the ark. And they'll say, well, it was probably because he had a lot of men working with him, and probably many men in, from what I can tell, what is revealed in the scriptures, it never mentions that anybody ever helped Noah build the ark. Someone says that's impossible. Nothing's impossible with God. You know. To be honest with you, if I can just share my thoughts with it for just a second, I think personally that it's the most glorifying thing to the Lord Jesus Christ. He laid down his life. He secured salvation. He tread the winepress of God's wrath alone. It was him. Nobody helped him. Someone says, what do you believe? I believe Noah built the ark by himself. Somebody said, well, it took 120 years to do it. And I said, you're right. That's right. I believe that it's the most glorifying thing to Almighty God in that picture that Noah himself, that's all it ever says. Noah prepared the ark. Noah built the ark. Never mentioned anybody else. And that's why I'd like to stay on this thing. But here's the truth. In the days of the building of that ark, the Holy Spirit was actually the one preaching. Now, he was using the mouth of a man, and nothing has ever changed. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, here while this ark was being prepared, Noah, without a doubt, I'm convinced, he was preaching from the mouth. But every time that he hit a nail, a peg, whatever it was, pitching, he was preaching. The Spirit of God was preaching through him. And the result of Noah's preaching was all according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of Almighty God. The results of the preaching was according to God's purpose. The Scripture says, wherein few, that's what verse 20 says. Verse 20, which sometime were disobedient. Verse 19 said, he went and preached to the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, which once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. 8 souls. That's what I've entitled this. Saved by water. If somebody were to ask me, do you believe in salvation by water? I said, well, according to what Peter says right here, according to what the Spirit of God meant, which is what I'd like to deal with for a minute, being saved by water, yeah, I believe it's exactly. But let's see what, let's make it clear and plain. Let's find out what is the Lord saying. Now here's what I'd like to take just a moment and consider the true meaning of what the Spirit of God means when he says that 8 souls were saved by water. The word by is a word that we need to definitely make sure we understand. That were saved by water. The word by here, and I always encourage the folks at Katy, I say, get a concordance. Get a concordance. And look it up. Whenever somebody stands up and says something, be like those at Berea. Search the scriptures daily and see if these things be so. I would encourage all of us here and everybody that's watching this program right now, get a concordance. Because I know how they can, man by nature, you know what he'll do? He'll wrest the scriptures. And he'll take that scripture, saved by water, and they say, there it is. Prove you're saved by water. What does that mean? The meaning of the word by is actually through. Through. Through the channel of or by the act of water. Now, whenever Noah prepared that ark, and it was concluded. And this is where Brother Gabe picked up reading. And Noah entered the ark. He went into the ark. And the scriptures that we just read out of Genesis chapter 7, it spoke of the wrath of God, the water that was poured out. The Lord poured out that water, the floods, the heavens were open. The water came out of the earth, and water covered the earth. Now, whenever the water was poured out, what did that water set forth? The wrath of God. The wrath of Almighty God. Man is born, as we looked at this morning, he's guilty. Man is a sinner, including Noah. Noah was a man like all of us. He was born in trespasses and sins and deserved in himself the just punishment of his rebellion. That's what he deserved. But remember, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord was pleased to show mercy to Noah, as he does to all the vessels of his mercy and compassion. Noah was a man that was placed within the ark that the wrath of God would not consume him. He was in the ark. And the flood that came out must come, because God is just. God is a just God. He's a just God and a Savior. And that flood came out because God is a just God and must deal with sin. The wages of sin is death. Why did everybody outside the ark die? Because that's what was due. That is the just due of sin. And so whenever the flood came, the wrath of God was expended toward men, including Noah. But Noah was in the ark. Noah was in the person of the Messiah. And that wrath that Noah was due, with him being in the ark, it sets forth. This is a picture. This is a type. This is an exhibition of that which Almighty God did for Noah, but not only Noah. It's what he has done for all of his people in the person of the blessed Savior. That wrath that was due Noah, Christ, in that ark, pictured in that ark, bore it. And by the water of God's judgment being poured out upon the ark, that which pictured the Savior, Noah and all like him found in Christ were saved. He was saved by water, that is, by the water being poured out on the ark. He was saved through the ark bearing the brunt of it. He was saved. So when it saved, he was saved by water. He was saved by the grace of God, bearing the judgment of Almighty God. Had judgment been poured out upon the Redeemer, the judgment being poured out upon the Redeemer, and the justice of Almighty God being actually plunged into the person of the Lord Jesus, the one who laid down his life for the sheep, that his sheep would never perish, in him they were saved. Saved because he bore their guilt. So the water of the flood being sent from God upon the ark, a picture of our substitute and redeemer and Messiah, because of God's wrath against sin being emptied in him, those eight souls that were in him actually experienced salvation. They were saved by or through the act of that water being poured out on their substitute. So here's the picture. The ark was a picture. It was a declaration. It was a preaching. Whenever that, Noah entered that ark, and his wife and his three sons and their wives, Noah was preaching, or the Spirit of God was preaching through Noah. They were declaring something. There's salvation only in this ark. God is going to send judgment. He's going to send judgment. The only hope is going to be in this ark. And whenever that flood came, all false securities. I'm going through the book of Genesis, and Lord willing, the next one I get, start talking about it, that water fell for 40 days and 40 nights. And it started, that water started rising and started rising. And it says, and all the hills and then all the mountains were covered. What it was saying was this: all false hope and false security was found to be useless. There was salvation only in that ark. And those souls that were in that ark were saved by or through the act of that water hitting the ark. That's the only way they were saved. It wasn't the water that saved them. It was the water falling on the ark by which they were saved. I could have said this, or the scripture could have said, it would say the same thing. They were saved by wrath. Saved by wrath? They were saved by the wrath of God falling on the ark. They were saved by the grace of God, by God's wrath, God's water, God's judgment hitting the ark, and the ark safely holding them in the midst of it. And then the scripture says in verse 21, now this, here's the passage right here that I want us to grasp hold of for just a second, because here we're going to be looking at something, another picture. That ark was a picture. That ark was a type. That ark was a figure. It's preaching. That the declaration of what we just read in the book of Genesis, that's the proclamation of salvation by the grace of God. You take that ark, the construction of that ark, those eight souls, few souls were saved. You see particular grace. You see salvation by God's grace, God's purpose, God's will. But then there's another picture that we're all familiar with. We read of the history of the ark, and we enter into that, and we're thankful for it. We're thankful for that beautiful picture. But there's another figure. And the reason I know this is because the scripture says there's another figure. It says in verse 21, the like figure. Well, that must mean that the figure we just looked at concerning the ark was a figure. It was a picture. It was a proclamation of truth that there's salvation in Christ alone. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Picture, the ark. Now here's a like figure. Here's another type. Here's something that answers to the same type that we just considered. Just like the ark was a declaration of salvation in Christ alone, Peter was moved by the Spirit of God to say, now here's another picture. One that is of the same type. Just as the ark was a picture of deliverance from the wrath of God being in the Lord Jesus Christ, here we see another picture called baptism. Baptism. Now, when the Spirit of God is revealing that there's a divine resemblance between Noah being in the ark and a believer today being baptized, they both speak of being found in Christ and saved by the grace of God by Him. They say the same thing whenever men are baptized. Now, what does believers' baptism picture? What is believers' baptism a a figure of. It's a figure. It's a figure. It's a type. It's a picture of the truth that when Christ died upon the tree, that all of God's elect were in him. Whenever Noah and his family were in that ark, that's a picture that all of God's elect, all chosen in him before the foundation of the world, are secure from the wrath of God only in the Messiah, the Lamb of God. That's what that ark pictured. Why did God build an ark? Because it set forth the glory of his Son. Now, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ hung upon the cross at Calvary, the Apostle Paul says, I was crucified with him. Old Brother Scott used to say this. He said, wherever God puts a man, that's where God keeps a man. God don't change. Nothing changes that God does. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And whenever man fell in Adam, he never fell from being in Christ. He's always been in Christ. And God kept him in Christ. All of God's elect, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the tree, all were with him. Now, this is a great mystery. Here we are, sitting here, and being found in Christ, glorified according to Romans 8:30. The Lord glorified us. I don't understand this truth, but I believe it. And here's the setting forth that whenever he died on the tree, and all of his elect being found in him, he being made sin for us who knew no sin, under the judgment and justice of Almighty God, just as that water fell, as that flood fell upon that ark, the judgment of God fell upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the Lord answered that in Psalm, for thou art holy. You're holy. And that rain that fell is the same picture and type set forth in baptism. Whenever we behold baptism, whenever he died, he hung there suffering the wrath of God, not for himself. We were there found in him. And when God's judgment fell upon him, it fell upon us too. In him. Did the water fall upon Noah and all in him? Yes. But there was one big difference between them and everybody else. They were in the ark. The soul that sinneth is going to die. And Christ was made sin for us who knew no sin. And the judgment of God fell. And we being in him were just like those eight souls in that ark. And when he died for us, when he was buried, he was buried for us. When he arose, we arose in him. His rising was the declaration of our justification before God. Justification that took place before the foundation of the world. It's like we've always been justified. What does that mean? No charge. No charge. We were delivered. Being found in him from God's judgment. And Noah was saved from God's judgment again because he was in the ark. And now baptism, the actual immersion of our bodies into the water, is not what saves us. The water is not what saves us. We're not saved by the physical water in which we're baptized, but rather it pictures. It's a type, verse 21, the like figure. Understand what baptism is. It is a figure. It's a type. It's declaring something. Noah being in that ark declared something. What? Salvations of the Lord. Baptism declares something. What? Salvations of the Lord. When we're immersed into that water that does not save us has no efficacy of itself. What it pictures is that we were buried with him by baptism unto his death. What we're confessing is that we are identified with him in his death. That when he died, we died in him because we confess by faith that he died for us. That's what we're saying. When we're raised out of the water, we behold in that glorious figure. It's a figure. It's a type of what we believe. We're saying that in figure and type. Again, that water has no ability to save us. We're saved by the grace of God. But we're identified with him in his resurrection. When he came out, we came out. He being accepted of God, we're accepted in the beloved. And now we set forth, just as that it wasn't the water itself that fell on that ark. It wasn't that water that was the salvation of Noah and his family. Again, Noah was saved by the grace of God being found in the ark itself. Whenever we talk about salvation, I want you to look at this 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, 19. Now listen to these scriptures. 1 Peter 1, verse 18, 19. I realize that many will read those scriptures and they'll say, well, it's water. It's the water that saves us. Listen to what scripture says. 1 Peter 1, verse 18, 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Let me ask you this. Let's just be honest about it. Is there coming a time when this earth is going to be burnt up and all things in it? Is God going to send judgment upon this earth and burn it up by fire? When he does, what's going to be burned up that's in this world? Everything. Everything that's of this world. Do you think the physical water in this earth is going to burn up? Is going to be burned up? You think God's going to burn up the physical water? Then do you believe the physical water in this earth would be then considered a corruptible thing? The physical water. For as much as we know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Saved by water, the physical water itself? No. But by the precious blood of Christ. 1 John 1:7. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Do you realize the blasphemous thought that is set forth by our old carnal nature, our old man, when we set forth that water, physical water, saves us? Do you realize what is being said against the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ when men make that statement? Now, the reason I know for a fact that water, physical water, is not what puts away our old nature is because the Spirit of God in this, the remaining part of verse 21, says it's not. I wouldn't make a statement like this unless I could back it up, Stan. The scripture says, I'll start in verse 21 again, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Well, they say, well, it says baptism saves us. It just said that baptism is a like figure of Almighty God who saves us, but the Spirit of God in His wisdom set forth an answer before men even could speak against this passage of Scripture. He gave a blessed revelation of what it doesn't mean. The Spirit of God moved upon Peter to say, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I know for a fact that physical water does not put away the filth of the flesh because the Spirit of God says it doesn't. What can wash away my sins? Nothing, according to the Scriptures. Nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 3:5 says it's not by works of righteousness that we've done. Men will say, be baptized and the baptism will save you. Titus 3:5 says no. Not by the works, not by the works of righteousness that we've done. Here's the answer of a good conscience. Verse 15 of 1 Peter 3 says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What is that answer of a good conscience? Verse 21, last part of verse 21. Here it is. But the answer of a good conscience toward God is by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's alive. Here's the answer of a good conscience. When he died for me. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. That ark says the same thing baptism says. All his people found in him the wrath of God poured out, and he satisfied God's demand for justice, for righteousness. And being found in him, we profess in this picture, in this type, it's a picture of what we believe. When he died, we died in him. When he was raised, we were raised in him. And salvation is by the grace of God. Noah was saved by or through that water being poured out upon Christ. We are saved by the grace of God being found in the ark himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the judgment of God fell upon him at Calvary, he finished the work. And when he died, he paid our debt. All that were everlastingly loved in Christ. When he laid down his life, he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. I'm laying down my life for those in me. I'm laying down my life for those found in me, those for whom I've everlastingly stood as surety. And that's the answer of a good conscience. God's people do not trust physical water for salvation. Again, I said that's salvation by the works of man. And Titus said no. But by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. An old writer named C.H. McIntosh. I don't know if you ever heard of him. Bob, I know you do. You have. Mr. C.H. McIntosh made this comment on 1 Peter 1:21. He said, it's impossible to express the wisdom of God's Spirit to place in check the evil use of the blessed ordinance of baptism. Carnal man is ready to give glory to physical water through the avenue of man's self-righteous works for salvation rather than salvation by the grace of God through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, baptism is an ordinance of divine institution and is therefore deeply significant. But when men place the figure or the type to be of more value than the substance pictured by the type, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have missed the simplicity and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Almighty God saves his people by grace through faith in him who was pictured in the ark. Being found in him who hung upon that cross and laid down his life for his people, for the sheep, died, buried, raised for them, ascended for them, ever living to make intercession, and we express our faith in him when we're baptized. Baptism is a picture. It's a type. Water doesn't save us. Salvation is of the Lord. Amen.